This is ND Insider's Pot of Gold. Now, with all things Notre Dame football, here's Tom Noy, Mike Berardino, and Austin Huff.
Another week of Pot of Gold from the WNDU studios, your home for Countdown to Kickoff. He is Mike Berardino. I am Tom Noy. That is producer Jerry.
I'm still here.
Yep. And he's still here. And guess what, Mike B? It is officially Ohio State week. No Navy, no Tennessee State, and North Carolina State. They had a little intrigue for a little bit, including the rain down in Raleigh. Certainly not Central Michigan. If you're tuning in to this podcast to get a full recap of the Central Michigan game, a game Notre Dame wins 41-17 last weekend at Notre Dame Stadium, guess what? You will be disappointed because we will not recap Central Michigan really at all. Was there anything to talk about for Central Michigan?
No. Quindario Lee and the way he likes to twist knees and ankles.
Quindario Lee and Sam Hartman's knees. So Sam Hartman gets out of that.
Couple of 70-plus yard, 75-yard touchdown passes. Now, there's plenty, but yeah, let's get on to Ohio State.
Let's get on to Ohio State. Ohio State, 3-0. They're ranked number 6 in the country. Notre Dame is 4-0. They're ranked number 9 in the country. Saturday night, Notre Dame Stadium, 7:30. This will be a good one.
You know, that ranking thing, because I have to write that up on Sundays, and it's gotten kind of goofy. I hate it when there's disparity, even like two spots is annoying. And here, you couldn't have more of an annoying disparity between the AP vote, which I do, I participate in, and Ohio State's 6 there, like you say. Mm-hmm. But for the coaches poll, which none of the coaches actually do, I don't believe it's an SID person or maybe assistant SID
or an somewhere. Intern.
Might be a quality control person.
There you go.
Might be a coach's wife. But Ohio State's number 4 on the coaches poll, which is sponsored by USA Today Sports and something with letters that I forget right now. But I would say that, and so we use that. So both have to be considered. But I'm not calling this a top 5 opponent because I have detail. I have a spreadsheet on their top 5 history going back, you know, to the beginning of the Holtz years. But I think we just have to treat this as a top 10 showdown.
Yes.
And the way I wrote it up Sunday was, I believe, if you go back to Bush-Push game, this is Notre Dame's only had a chance now. This will be the 4th time since that game ended to have a top 10 showdown on its home turf, a true home game. And considering how the narrative has been for the last nearly 2 decades, Notre Dame, you know, doesn't bring its best when it needs it.
They don't.
It hasn't really had a chance to do it at home very often. And so, you know, the very first game I covered when I came down here from Minnesota was a Stanford game, and Notre Dame shellacked them.
In 2018, right?
2018. That was a changing of the guard kind of game for two fine, esteemed universities. It'll soon be pals in the in the ACC, I guess. But for scheduling purposes. But, you know, the Clemson game was, that was different. Notre Dame was unranked in that one, but Clemson was top 5. Let me get my numbers here before I just confuse the heck out of people.
I
got a lot of
confused
numbers, but the bottom line is it's in the story at SouthBendTribune.com, and it will be. I've checked it. Trust me, it's just the 4th time since the Bush-Push game that you can say a true top 10 matchup here at Notre Dame. And, of course, this one, Notre Dame be wearing green pants.
Green everything. We will not be wearing green in the press box. Notre Dame will be wearing green jerseys, green pants, green shoes, not green helmets, thank God. They will keep the gold helmets. Green gloves, green whatever, green socks, who knows.
Green
but it is a green out. Hopefully, we'll be able to see the numbers from the press box when they're wearing the green uniforms. Because green uniforms all the way down there at night, under the lights, makes it a little tough to see from where we are, and we're way up top there. So,
wow, yeah, that's a fine point. It's how, Larry Munson, the Hall of Fame Georgia broadcaster, would always complain about Tennessee's numbers and with the orange and the light when the white didn't offset, he would complain for 3 hours. So we'll be complaining. The LED wristband, we got a little look at that the other day. I guess everybody's going to have it. I wonder, with all those Ohio State people going to try to get over here, we'll see how their invasion works. But what are they going to do with those wristbands? And would they? How are they going to monitor? We didn't get a chance to ask Don Scott, not the former AC/DC lead singer, but Don Scott.
That would be Bon Scott.
I know. Oh, I know. And high voltage. And
who had an AC/DC reference 5 minutes into the show? Not I.
Love him, yeah. And but he met an unfortunate end. That's another story. But the great frontman. But he said that there'd be one of those LED wristbands. They look pretty cool. They're going to be on every seat. But the Ohio State people, it'll be incumbent upon them. You're calling
they're,
it right
they're
now.
Chucking, they're chucking they're, them out of what, the stadium.
Are they going to? I mean, because they don't necessarily. I mean, if they're buying stuff on the secondary market, are they going to get in there? There's going to be a rush to get to your seat to secure the LED wristband and make sure the people in the red don't grab the ones that have nothing to do. People are asked. It says only take one. There will be one LED wristband per seat for everyone in the stadium to enjoy. Please be considerate of your neighbors and only take one. What are the chances that Buckeye Nation is considerate and only takes one, even if there's 5,000 of them here or 30,000 of them here?
Asking them to only take one of the LED bracelets is like putting out Halloween candy on your front porch and saying, please only take one. When you're 10, 12, 11, 12 years old and you walk up to a house on Halloween and there's a big bucket of Halloween candy and it says, just take one, leave the rest for somebody else, you're taking all of them. So who knows how that's going to work. But more history before we get into the X's and O's of this matchup. You talked about the top 10, two top 10 teams meeting at Notre Dame Stadium. This will be the eighth time since 1993 that two teams in the top 10 of the Associated Press poll play at Notre Dame Stadium. Later this week in the South Bend Tribune, I rank those seven other games.
Oh, great.
As far as what they meant, a couple of the games, Notre Dame against Cincinnati a couple of years ago, the Bush Push game, Notre Dame against Michigan, I believe in 1994, that was in there. Notre Dame playing Ohio State. The last time Ohio State came to Notre Dame was 1996, a forgettable game. At Notre Dame Stadium that game the year after they had played in Columbus, and Eddie George basically wins the Heisman that year. So that's in there. And then the Stanford game that you mentioned where they just absolutely pounded Stanford. Stanford came to town ranked number 7th. Notre Dame was number 8. And Notre Dame ran up, I think, 500 yards of total offense with Ian Book and Miles Boykin and Dexter Williams.
That was the return of Dexter.
Free Dexter. Remember, it was free Dexter.
The juice.
Why is Dexter Williams not playing the first four games? Brian Kelly never did answer that. Stanford was the fifth game. Dexter Williams, I think, ran for like 161 yards. And the number one game for top 10 teams at Notre Dame Stadium since 1993. It will always be number one. It's going to take a lot to get it off that number one spot. The game of the century.
That's right. Charlie Ward loses.
Florida State goes down. Shaun Wooden bats it down in the end zone. So we'll have something on that, I hope, on Saturday in Saturday's South Bend Tribune and also on ND Insider. So the main storyline as we get into Notre Dame and Ohio State on Saturday. Last year, the main storyline was Marcus Freeman's going back to Ohio State, his alma mater. He's going to coach his first regular season game in the horseshoe against the Buckeyes. That dominated the storylines as they ran up to the lead up to the game. It didn't matter what the defense was like, what Tyler Buchner making his first start as quarterback was like. It was all Marcus Freeman. On Saturday, it's not going to be all Marcus Freeman because it will be number 10, Sam Hartman. That's the lead storyline for Saturday. It has to be, doesn't it?
Among many, but yeah, if you have to, sure. I mean, all eyes on this, especially with the Heisman campaign starting to rumble.
It's rumbling. Rumbling is a perfect word.
I tweeted yesterday. I looked at DraftKings odds, and of course, you know, it's kind of wacky because Audric Estime is now the odds-on favorite to win the Doak Walker Award. He's down to 5.5 to 1, but you know, leading the country in rushing by a large margin. But he's played 4 games. The other guys like Corum have played 3, and of course Travion Henderson. But Sam Hartman's down to the number 4 choice overall among quarterbacks. He's down to 10 to 1, a season low 10 to 1 choice. There was a time in the offseason when there was Tyler Buchner was still enrolled here where Sam Hartman was 35-1.
Is he ahead of Shedeur Sanders?
Yes.
He is?
Yes, he is. Yes, okay, he is. So Shador's about 18-1.
If Sam Hartman's number four, who are the three the players that are listed ahead?
Caleb Williams is like 3.5-1. Michael Penix Jr. is going to be really tough. That's a stealth choice. Not even stealth. He's like 5-1. Quinn Ewers.
Really?
A producer Jerry brought up last week, I believe, in our conversation with Rob Aller about Ohio State, you know, being maybe salty about Quinn Ewers down there at Texas. He's the third choice right now because Texas is lined up for a breakthrough season. I will remind you, way back in August, I did pick Texas as you one did. Of the four teams to go to the playoff.
Horns up.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, they certainly have a history of failing when they need it. But
where does Drake May
end? And I am kind of wearing burnt orange today. But
you
that's
are.
Not,
you got your Texas
really,
on.
That's not really the point.
Where does Drake May end in all this then?
Yeah,
I thought he was three.
I'm a Carolina guy. No, not on a DraftKings thing. Yeah. He's in that next wave. There's a little separation.
He's in the Shedeur Sanders group.
Yep, really? Sanders, May. It's you know, it's so quarterback heavy. There was a time starting the year where Marvin Harrison Jr. was the top, I believe the top non-quarterback, even over any running back. But he's fallen back because you need a quarterback to get the ball to the best receiver in the country. And maybe that's a segue to Kyle McCord talk and whether he's all that. There's a spotlight on him, too. But I
don't get the feeling that they're very happy with Kyle McCord at quarterback. Not necessarily happy, but convinced that he can be a guy. And again, it's so unfair to say he's not Justin Fields or he's not C.J. Stroud, but that's the nature of the beast when you play that position at Ohio State, where you have to be really good. And one of the reasons it's kind of flipped this year for Notre Dame and Ohio State is Notre Dame has a quarterback in Sam Hartman. Ohio State has a quarterback in Kyle McCord. It's almost like last year where Ohio State had C.J. Stroud and Notre Dame had Tyler Buchner, and you were thinking, how in the world is Notre Dame going to go into Ohio Stadium with Tyler Buchner as the quarterback and come out of there with a win? I'm thinking that now with Kyle McCord, where Ryan Day anointed him as the starter and said, we're going with him. Maybe it was going to be Devin Brown. Maybe it was going to be Kyle McCord. He goes with Kyle McCord. And yeah, he played pretty well against Western Michigan, where they were finally able to get it going offensively. But listening to Rob Aller, our guest last week, sounds like Marvin Harrison and that wide receiving core aren't happy with the fact that they're not getting the ball as much as maybe they figured they would with McCord at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about pro futures that are on the line here. There's, you know, Julian Fleming is a high first day pick as well. But they have to have the production. They have to have a chance. Yeah, you certainly look at that. You know, you look at Pro Football Focus is one way to rank these things in terms of every area and with strengths and weaknesses. Pass offense efficiency going into this game. Notre Dame's 27th in the country in pass offense, which it feels like it should be more, but again, they rank every single play and they attempt to really get granular. Ohio State's pass offense is tied for 83rd in the country with Utah State. And I just think that, again, grain of salt for anything to happen against Indiana, Youngstown State, Western Kentucky. But this is a defensive clash, and that's why I'm going, you know, we'll talk about the pick later on, but it feels like it's, you know, these for two teams that average in the 40s with their offense against inferior opponents so far. I think it's going to be a Big Ten style grind it out kind of. I think being able to run when they know you're going to run is going to be essential, and third down conversions, all that stuff. I think it's going to be a smash mouth game more than perhaps the show has suggested to this point.
Going to be a grinder, huh?
Let me ask you guys a question before we go into grinding it out Big Ten style. When is the last time, because this game really feels like for the first time in a while, Notre Dame has definitively the better, more experienced guy you trust at quarterback. When's the last time you could say Notre Dame's had a better quarterback than Ohio State? Because I know they don't play often, but this feels like a really rare moment. You look at, we talked about last year, Buchner, first ever start. What are we going to get against the future number two pick in the draft? And now we switch that. When's the last time you really could say that?
I think the last time Notre Dame and Ohio State played at Notre Dame Stadium, Ron Paulus was the established quarterback for Notre Dame. I think Stanley Jackson at Ohio State was making either his second or his third career start. So maybe you kind of thought they had the advantage quarterback-wise, but Ohio State had everything else advantage-wise that day at Notre Dame Stadium. So, yeah, it's been a while because it's usually you think about Ohio State, you think about their wide receivers, you think about the Big Ten, but you also think about the fact that they've had really good quarterbacks in Columbus. Kyle McCord may eventually be a good quarterback, but I think right now, and I wrote about this week in the South Bend Tribune, Sam Hartman is here on this campus in this program for really one reason, and that's to play games like he's going to play against Ohio State. Then he's going to play against USC. Then he's going to play against Clemson. Then whatever bowl
game. Don't forget Duke.
I'm not sold yet on Duke. Like
Forget Duke. That's going to be a tough rebound. Regardless, it's a night game down there.
I'm not drifting to Duke just yet.
I know, but win or lose against Ohio State, the natural letdown. That's why it's been wise for Marcus Freeman to emphasize throughout, day by day, win each day, all that stuff, bite size.
Don't drift.
But how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? But hopefully you don't do that to the elephant. That's not very nice. But anyway, back to Ohio State.
Well, back to Big Ten football. I don't want to see a Big Ten football game break out at Notre Dame Stadium. I want to see points. I want to see yards. I want to see Sam Hartman be Sam Hartman. We're not kicking field goals and going third and two and second and one and all that other stuff, Big Ten. Don't bring me the Big Ten. Don't bring the Big Ten.
Do you remember back
The Big Ten.
Remember back in June when we sat with Marcus Freeman, of course you do. And,
of course
and
I
he
do.
Brett brought up just, he just, you know, kind of, we had lists of questions to talk about, but he seemed to want to talk about unprompted Ryan Day. Ohio State. And he also seemed unprompted, he wanted to talk about what he was already thinking about, as you wrote about then, the fourth, what do you do on fourth and two or whatever, are you going for it or not? And he was like, yeah, he was still lamenting the Stanford game
where
he didn't take the 3 points. Yeah. And he's like, I was listening too much to the analytics then. I'm going to go more by my gut. Well, I think that always when coaches offer something unprompted, they're always playing chess, especially this guy. And it would be wise to not really tip your hand ever. And in fact, say the exact opposite. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens when there's a fourth and one at the Ohio State 30 at some point early on, and whether I don't think you have Mitchapalooza. Now that's important to point out.
Mitch Evans
missed the last game with a concussion,
mm-hmm.
and it would be great to have him back for his run blocking and his catching ability, but which are significant. But I'm not so sure. That's going to be kind of a game day decision, and that's a tough ask depending on what point in the week.
Wasn't he expected back? We will hear from Marcus Freeman on Thursday. We're taping this pod right now on Wednesday morning. Marcus Freeman will meet with the media for the final time this week via Zoom on Thursday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think speaking of injuries, JD Bertrand came back from his concussion. He'll be ready to go this week. He met the media on Tuesday. I think Marcus said Mitchell Evans was a little bit behind JD Bertrand in his recovery. So maybe he didn't practice on Tuesday, but if he practices Wednesday, Thursday, got to think he may give it a go on Saturday.
But he didn't have it. His start date is unknown.
Right.
On that protocol. When did he enter the protocol? It wouldn't have been after the Saturday game against NC State because that's when Bertrand did. So sometime during the practice week
midweek.
Up to Central Michigan. And Tuesday or Wednesday, it would be a safe assumption. And again, every one of these has to be taken seriously, should be taken seriously. And I'm just saying that when it comes to fourth and short, the sneak, Sam Hartman got a chance to sneak it in the other day, and I think it'll be, if there is, of course, you can just turn around and hand it to Estime, 8.3 yards a carry or whatever. But, I think there'll be those opportunities. There'll be those calls, those gut-wrenching calls, the ones that we will debate and, of course, in real time, perhaps laud, perhaps criticize, whatever. It's going to be all evaluated. It's all on display, and it's going to be fun.
Doesn't it feel nice to be able to evaluate or look at this game and say there's so much to evaluate as opposed to Navy, Tennessee State, Central Michigan, where you're looking at it and saying, well, if Sam Hartman plays only a half, that's good, and then we'll get to see Evangeli, and then we'll get to see some of the guys that we don't get to see. We're not seeing any of those guys this week. This is a big-time matchup, a big-time game, and as Marcus Freeman has said, for Notre Dame to win a game like this – your stars have to be stars. So it's not only just Sam Hartman. It's Audric Estime. It's Joe Alt. It's Blake Fisher. It's got to be somebody on the outside wide receiver core, whether it's Tobias Merriweather, whether it's Jaden Greathouse, whether it's whoever. Maybe it's a tight end. Maybe it's Holden Stays, who caught a couple of touchdown passes against Central Michigan. And then defensively, your stars have to be stars. And if you're talking about stars defensively against Ohio State, you're talking about how are you going to slow that wide receiver core with guys like Benjamin Morrison, Cam Hart, Jaden Mickey. Somebody out of that DB room needs to get a pick, and somebody needs to step up and do something that is not expected for Notre Dame to beat a team like Ohio State.
Yeah,
has to do
no,
it.
You take
your stars.
Turnover margin will be important. Notre Dame has yet to recover an opponent's fumble this year. They ball disruption, such a point of emphasis. What it's led to is a ton of missed tackles. That's a problem. You can't be whiffing on the tackles still. We wrote about that the other day in the South Bend Tribune. You're talking about people, stars, people who are emerging stars. Xavier Watts in the back end may have a chance to get another pick. I mean, they get DJ Brown back this week. Not a star, but a very important player, a special teams core guy as well. There's talent all over the field. That's the idea. That's why they're top 10 programs. That's why they should be perennial top 10 programs. And whether it feels like a changing of the guard at the end of it, or just a great classic to savor, and then continue on to the next big one, as you've laid out, remains to be seen. But it would surprise me. This is one to throw out. What would be more surprising, that it's a two-score difference or a two-touchdown difference in favor of Ohio State, or two-touchdown win in favor of the home team?
It would be stunning if Ohio State comes in here and wins by two touchdowns.
I agree.
Stunning. Like last year, everything was set up for Ohio State to really roll Notre Dame. First game in Ohio Stadium, first game for Marcus Freeman, regular season game for Marcus Freeman as a head coach, first game for Tyler Bruckner, all that stuff. I would be stunned, and not in a good way, if Ohio State comes in here, flexes its muscle, and Notre Dame delivers a game like it delivered a couple of years ago up in Michigan Stadium against the Wolverines on that Saturday night, that rainy Saturday night in Ann Arbor, where you're like, what in the world are we watching here? I expect to be pleasantly surprised at what the outcome will be on Saturday, instead of walking down to the post-game interview room afterward, kind of scratching my head and thinking, where's this program going? Like it's time for Notre Dame. Saturday night is Notre Dame's time to, like you said, not necessarily changing the guard, but kind of flex its muscle and say, we're not really, I'm not going to say Notre Dame is back, because they really haven't, like they haven't gone anywhere, but to beat a program like Ohio State, we're waiting for this program to take the next step. They haven't done it against Clemson or Alabama in the college football playoff. Do it against Ohio State and maybe set the stage for what's to come later on in the season.
Well stated. Yeah, that's what's at stake. And I would say the same. I would be more surprised if Ohio State had a two touchdown win in this one than if Notre Dame did, because as Notre Dame, if it goes, what's the dream scenario for Notre Dame? Get ahead early, be able to keep that run pass balance, keep Ohio State and Jim Knowles, $2 million a year defensive coordinator guessing, and do not get one dimensional. Keep Sam Hartman's uniform, green uniform, without any, I guess we're on
no pellets,
no crushed tires on it. And keep, the other thing to keep in mind, I mean, he's a trooper, as Marcus Freeman called Sam Hartman, and talked about the initial scare that I asked him about after the game against Central Michigan, when Sam Hartman, his left knee got twisted up, and it doesn't look good on the replay. Jason Garrett on the Peacock broadcast said he didn't like the look of that. It wasn't a big fan of that, or something to that effect of the sportsmanship element. But I just think back, Sam Hartman came back in that game and made a perfect throw to Rico Flores down the sideline. But he also overshot Jaden Greathouse by several yards twice. And that's the kind of thing where if you start lowering your eyes, as they say, and start looking at the pass rush, start worrying about those people in your face, then you are going to, the accuracy is going to suffer and some balls are going to sail. And those two sailed. Now, even the touchdown later to Holden Stays in the end zone, that was a one-hand catch, heck of a catch. That ball was off target. Sam Hartman's incredibly accurate. That's his stock and trade. He's also, you know, tough, durable, all those things. Ohio State, you know, is going to want to bring the heat. Jim Knowles, known for keeping you guessing in terms of pass protection. Notre Dame has struggled to protect Sam Hartman, even with all the early season adulation and running up the score and the records, plus, you know, 40-plus a game. It's been fun to watch, and all these different targets and the variety. The pass blocking for Notre Dame is 38th in the country. And the run blocking, actually, is 49th in the country. So the offensive line, that's a big one for, I mean, when I talk about a Big Ten-style game, if you're looking for a statement, I guess it's that Notre Dame offensive line against, again, a front seven for Ohio State that's loaded with NFL talent, including Liam Eichenberg's little brother, among others, and J.D. Bertrand's former high school running mate, Steel Chambers, at linebacker. And, of course, dude, there's talent. Jack Sawyer and JT and all these guys. It's Joe Alt, Blake Fisher, and company need to take control of this game, and they'll be able to do that. If they can do that early, then it'll be a fun night.
Joe Alt said something interesting when he met the media on Tuesday as far as talking about what he remembers about the Ohio State game last year as opposed to playing them this season. And he said last year was their first game, and as an offensive line, they had really, I don't want to say they didn't have any idea, but they had only a little idea of how to, like, the offensive line gets better the more games they play together. He said that was our first game together as an offensive line. We really didn't know this or we didn't know that. We've been together now for four games. They feel like they've got an advantage, or they know what the drill is, what the schemes are, what the calls are, what the checks are. So from an offensive line standpoint, Joe Alt feels better about this game being the number five game on the schedule than last year, where you're going to Ohio State basically flying blind. So keep an eye on that. We'll have more Notre Dame football talk coming up after these messages. Maybe we'll have a guest. Maybe we'll make predictions. Oh. Stay tuned right here on Pot of Gold. Back on the Pot of Gold for a midweek edition heading into the Ohio State game here at the WNDU studios. Your home for Countdown to Kickoff. He's Mike Berardino. I'm Tom Noy. And we are joined right now by former Notre Dame quarterback Malik Zaire. Malik, truth be told, when you're covering the Buffalo Liberty game for CBS Sports Network last week, were you thinking ahead to Ohio State? You were.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. I think it's obviously one of the bigger games of the year. And for us, I think it was an opportunity to that we can't miss this time. And I think we're very prepared this year, and we're looking to change the narrative after this week.
For a guy that's an Ohio native, Centerville, Ohio, what does Ohio State football mean to Ohio, and what does it mean to play a program like Notre Dame the way they're coming in here on Saturday night to play Notre Dame?
It's definitely very central to just the football culture in the Midwest, especially Ohio State's influence just on my life and just growing up in Ohio, and what it means to be a Buckeye and be a Buckeye fan. I mean, it's a very small but huge bubble that exists in Ohio about Ohio State, and you know, rightfully so. It's had a lot of success, a lot of great players, one of the best teams in the country every year, at least in the conversation. And you know, I'm glad that I'm even from Ohio, because that just shows how tough it is to get out of Ohio State area, especially being a pretty good recruit.
How many times were you told growing up in high school, man, you should be at Ohio State? And even when you were at Notre Dame, people were telling you that.
Definitely was sold on the idea of Ohio State early, especially when Jim Trussell was there, Braxton Miller and Terrell Pryor era. I was really, really, really interested at that point. And, you know, fell in love with it ever since, you know, waking up in the morning before school and then, you know, Ohio State would be playing in a big bowl game. And just my teachers in school were big Ohio State fans, so we always would talk about it. So, you know, just the Ohio State definitely means a lot. And a lot of inspiration came from wanting to play for Ohio State when I was younger. And just obviously, I mean, everybody wanted to play for Ohio State when they're younger, but the motivation to get there, knowing how hard it was, because they were so good, nobody, like anybody just couldn't go. So definitely has some motivation behind it and turned out pretty well.
Malik, if you were, and this were your assignment this week as a quarterback, looking at the Ohio State defense, which is actually much higher rated than the offense this year. I know the offense is putting up 40 a game, but early on, all the metrics seem to say this is a Jim Knowles' side is the game changers. Guys like Denzel Burke over there, and we can go on and on. But how would you, if you're Notre Dame, how would you set up your game plan? How do you attack it? How do you make sure that you're dictating the outcome?
Well, we know Ohio State safeties are pretty sound. They're run first guys, which for us, you know, it's another challenge in finding ways to run the football, even though that's one of our staples. I think with us and having the efficiency of the run game with Sam Hartman makes us pretty well balanced and gives a lot of problems for defenses to scheme against. I think this is a different challenge for Jim Knowles because we have a very capable quarterback that keeps you honest, as well as a run game that I think has gotten better from last year in terms of a depth perspective. And, you know, Aldrick is on fire right now, but we have great complementary and future star backs that are along in that room. And, you know, for us to have such an impact in the trenches is going to be, you know, primary. So for our offensive line, this is obviously our biggest challenge of the year, but it's not like we've been inconsistent leading up to this game. We played pretty balanced and scored throughout each quarter in these games and made it look on the scoreboard like we feel about ourselves in terms of being the aggressor in this game. So for me, if I'm Sam Hartman, I would want this game to be in my hands and making the plays in crucial moments, because I do think that there will be a great stabilizing factor with our run game, but it's going to come down to some throws that we need Sam to be really keen on, because we know Ohio State's going to give us some one-on-one opportunities on the outside, and our pass game has developed, you know, from a Jaden Thomas to a Jaden Greathouse and everything in between. Sam's been able to find his guys that he needs to get the ball to in the best spot. So you do that and you stay aggressive, I think we'll be in a good position to win the game. It's the first time we've had the better quarterback in a big game in quite some time, when it comes to, like, obviously I'm playing Trevor Lawrence every time, but, you know, this is an opportunity that we, because of that, you know, we can use that experience to score more points. I think this is the first team to 40 wins. And, you know, I think for us, we've been on route in doing that each and every week.
For someone who played the position here at Notre Dame, how do you look at it? And what's your reaction when you hear so much love for Sam Hartman, people saying, this is the best Notre Dame quarterback since whoever? Like, you've played the position here. What goes through your thoughts when you hear people giving so much love to Sam Hartman, what he's done the first four games?
Yeah, Sam Hartman is just a culmination of what I've always felt was right in front of, you know, whoever stepped into that role at quarterback, is that, you know, it's like the gold is right there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you just are capable enough and you just are that guy, if you just can get in that position and you play well enough, you don't even have to play great. You know, you don't have to do much. But if you can just play well enough in that spot, I mean, you're going to look like the king of the castle. And so, you know, I'm not surprised Sam is doing well because of, you know, he has some talent and because of his veteran experience. He's been in college football for a while. I mean, that's just going to play into it. We saw Jack Cohn, a Wisconsin backup, looked like the king of the castle with the type of things he was dealing with and still was able to put up 500 yards in a bowl game. So it just shows you that with a very capable guy, not a guy that fits a system, but even an it factor guy at the quarterback position, because of what we have surrounding that, having a good offensive line every year, having a good defense that can keep you in the game, and just the talent that you're recruiting under Marcus Freeman, we could be how these other teams have been the pillars of college football. And Sam is just, you know, showing that at a level where finally, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, hey, we always knew we had it. So I'm happy for him. And hopefully we can attract, obviously we got Deuce Knight coming in, but continue to the success of having developed quarterbacks to take advantage of the best position in college football, and that's Notre Dame quarterback spot.
Listening to you talk, how close were you to being the king of the castle if you didn't crack that ankle there that season? I mean, you were close, weren't you?
I mean, you know, to have such a limited opportunity to play and to take advantage of the, I felt like as much as I could, you know. Obviously, I would have loved to had more stabs at it, but even from the little time that I was able to get in there and make something happen, I felt like I knew I was right there. I was right over the mark. So I just know that with a season like anybody else, you know, with 11 or 12 games under their belt, I think I would have taken advantage of it. So I'm glad Sam is staying healthy and realizes that, yeah, this is like hitting the lotto.
Talking with Malik Zaire, former Notre Dame quarterback, former Florida quarterback, and now broadcast analyst on CBS Sports Network. Going to be doing the Northern Illinois game, a home game for them against Tulsa, I believe, this week. Malik, sure. Yeah, I'm looking back at that Texas game, 313 passing yards, and that, and you won that one. Sam Hartman's thrown for 300 yards in his career. Career now is 22 times, and he's lost 9 of them. And at Wake Forest with the, you know, not enough defensive support, not enough run game support. So a lot of that gets pinned on the quarterback unfairly at times. He's also had some games in these big spotlight opportunities where the interceptions piled up, you know, 4 interceptions in an ACC championship against Pitt. That was a 45-21 loss. 3 interceptions at NC State last year. He's kind of remedied that demon with the win at NC State. But in terms of the national stage, the idea that Sam Hartman, big stats guy, the leadership, nobody's going to question. But in terms of a win against Ohio State on this stage, he's rising up the ranks of the Heisman odds making. Now the number 4 choice out there. It's going to be tough to catch up with Caleb Williams or Michael Penix Jr., even Quinn Ewers ahead of him. But what do you think Sam Hartman has to prove? Does he have anything to prove for you career-wise in his 6th year in this setting?
Able to sign him for 3 games. We just need you for 3 games, and this is one of them. It's going to be important that we don't need you to play beyond, you know, the expectation of what we know you are. We just need you to do that. Bring the 12,000 yards you had to Notre Dame for 1 game, and we need you to play confidently. And this time around, you're supported by a team that you don't have to be the man. I think a lot of times when you're in these high interception games, is because if you don't keep throwing it down the field, if you don't keep trying things, you're really not going to have a chance. Fortunately for Sam Hartman, he's like, man, I can just take a deep breath and throw easy touchdowns to Holden State when we're killing them with the run game and make it look really easy. So I think Sam is a lot more relieved going into these big games. And we saw from a North Carolina State who felt the same way. Oh, he's never won here. He's not good against the pressure, this and that. Well, when you have a run game and Aldrick Estime back there and a whole hoist of running backs, and then you got any pick-the-choice receiver that you want, and then you got some tight ends that can do something for you with an O-line that give you some time, you're really cooking with grease right there. So I think Sam is very comfortable, and we've seen it with the play calling and chemistry Jarrett Parker has had with him. Geno Gadduli obviously has been developing the younger guys, but they have a good relationship with Sam as well. And we cleared the decks for him. You know, we got rid of Tommy Reese, and Tyler Buckner chose to go somewhere else, and Drew Pine decided to take some other spot. So, hey, we done cleared the decks and went all in on Sam, and it was the right decision. And I knew he was on point when he started showing those Dove commercials with the shampoo and all that. I knew he had the right man for it.
he does have his NIL. I mean, perfect guy for the perfect time here in college football. These guys, can be. But I'll tell you what he also does, Malik, and I'm sure that you tried to do the same. But any quarterback who makes sure that he's not a me guy, there's plenty of me guys out there, especially with that spotlight. But he does. I mean, whether he's making sure every single teammate gets their own Beats by Dre headphones, whether he's making sure that every single guy gets the latest Under Armour slippers or whatever. And, you know, he seems to bring the teammates along for the ride, and I think they appreciate that. The deep ball, I want to ask you about that real quick. You know, the air that he puts under it, we haven't seen a guy that could be that accurate down the field. And he had a chance to hit Tyree and Merriweather in stride. Granted, they had about 5 yards separation on Central Michigan, a little bit tougher. But Jim Knowles likes to, like you said, put his corners on an island. There will be opportunities one-on-one on the outside, just a go route, and you just lob it down there. How rare is that talent for Sam Hartman? What makes him accurate, so accurate on the deep ball?
A lot of it is confidence. And I think for him, going back to him throwing for 12,000 yards, I mean, hey, you've taken enough shots down the field to know what your stroke feels like. So I definitely think that now that he trusts more of the receivers that we've had with Tobias and JT and some of the other Deion Cosley, some other talented guys, you know, and especially their size, the range of what you can throw is a lot greater. So, you know, sometimes, especially with Sam being as tall as he is, I doubt that he's eyeing some of these deep balls. It's, you know, it's more of like a feel. And for him to be able to have a guy that has a huge radius with a guy like Tobias, a guy like Deion and JT, those being bigger guys, just like we've always had like an EQ or Miles Boykin type of player, Chase, it makes it really easy for a quarterback to just not miss. And so Sam being experienced and the wily vet that he is, he knows how to throw away from the defense, give our guys a chance. And this is where the impact of Sam comes in the Ohio State game, is us having a greater chance of completing and winning the 50-50 balls because we trust our talent and we trust our quarterback in the right spot. So, I mean, a deep ball could be from the 40 going in. That's still a deep ball, right? So taking our shots at the right places that won't put us in a bad position, I think Sam is old enough to not make those mistakes.
What's the run-up for a main guy, for a starter, for the starting quarterback? What's the run-up to a night game at Notre Dame Stadium like for you, for guys where, okay, it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, into Saturday. What's the week like for you as far as, man, it just can't get here soon enough for us?
Well, you just go through your routine. I think every quarterback has their process of how they get ready for a game. Mine's developed through the years, you know, from different guys and different coaches that I've talked to. But I think Sam is old enough to have his process on how he goes about breaking down a defense and communicating with his guys and knowing what he needs to work on throughout the week after practice or, you know, from a drill perspective or a route that he wants to work on with a specific receiver. It's just little stuff that you focus on. It's like a science project. You know, you take your time developing your theories in the beginning, and then you break down the film and get closer to what works for you. And it's pretty exciting, you know. And then by the time you look up, it's game time, and you're getting on the bus, and you have collected all your notes and done your due diligence through your process of getting ready for a game as a quarterback should. And it's nothing that you really look over in terms of this is a huge or different change in my day-to-day, which is what an older guy is more accustomed to. So I feel like Sam is going to do what he does to get ready and produce the way he's been consistently these first three games.
Night game against Texas in 2015. One Malik Zaire, 19 of 22 for 313 yards and 3 touchdowns. The moment then wasn't too big for you, was it?
Oh, no, I was more pissed off because I'm like, man, I should have been playing a lot sooner. And I just needed to play really well to be like, see, I told you so, Brian Kelly, you know. But, you know, really happy that I was able to do it with my teammates, man. A lot of those guys that I was working with on the field, I mean, we spent a lot of time before we even got to that point getting ready. So it was just a great unveiling of kind of what we all put together, working on getting to that point. And, I mean, we were rolling, so you know, who knows what could have happened out of that.
Yeah.
Malik, you mentioned Deuce Knight earlier, and you know, you're the lucky lefty, but this is another lefty coming along with the, you know, he's high school junior and maybe a little bit of a surprise at this point in his recruitment with so many options still. A kid from Loosedale, Mississippi, not too far from Mobile. I think of Pat White, another great college star at West Virginia, lefty from that area. But this guy's about 6'4" and can run and throw. I think he throw like 70 yards, no problem. Have you had any interaction with Deuce Knight, or what do you hear about Deuce Knight? And what would your advice be to him as he continues to have people check in with him from the recruiting circles? Are you still, you know, how solid are you for Notre Dame? He's going to, it never ends on the recruiting trail, even when you publicly give your non-binding commitment. How do you process the Deuce Knight getting him to the finish line in the class of 2025?
Well, shout out to Marcus Freeman, man, another Dayton, Ohio native like myself, to be able to, you know, try to make a foothold in a great Notre Dame program history. And he's been doing it every step of the way in a short time so far in the recruiting process, especially in a year that's gone by where we had another opportunity to get Dante Moore, who's doing well at UCLA. So for him to secure CJ Carr, Kenny Manchi, Deuce Knight, it just is revamping the program and the narrative that, you know, this is a place that you can come to being an elite talent. And for a guy like Deuce Knight to be who he is in the recruiting process, we know that all factors included, that the recruiting never stops. But, you know, Marcus Freeman, for him to get a commitment so early just shows how much he's made an impact on Deuce Knight's and his family's life and their perspective of what the bigger picture means. So if you can sell a kid that without trying to give him a bunch of Nikes and a bag of money, I mean, that shows that Marcus Freeman is approaching it the right way. And Deuce Knight is a kid that sees it for what he sees it for. And not all kids see it that same way. I know a lot of kids see the excitement of NIL, and it's not a problem either. But, you know, Marcus Freeman's got to be super selective on the certain guys that fit or want to be a part of something that he's building at Notre Dame. And it does definitely helps when you win in games, when scoring 50 a game, and seeing the success of Sam Hartman having an impact on Notre Dame in just that 1 year. And then Gino Guidulli, which I think his biggest help for this football team is being able to develop our quarterbacks. Because, I mean, I'm sure he's talking to Sam, but he's really working with Minchie and Angeli and CJ Carr and really recruiting Deuce Knight heavily. I mean, every time Deuce comes to school, Gino Guidulli standing right next to him in the middle of the field. So that special attention that, you know, you really couldn't do when it was just one guy in the whole position, I think just shows the commitment Marcus Freeman has to building the program the right way. Pete Vervock was coming in as the AD and building a strong relationship with Marcus Freeman. And it's really the change of the tide that I think is happening, where this game specifically can bounce us in two different directions in the universe. You know, our trajectory can head, you know, skyrocket towards that championship pillar team that, you know, every year we're possibly competing for that final game. And, you know, I think this is a great opportunity to display that in Marcus Freeman's second year doing it.
Working as a color analyst on Saturday for CBS Sports Network, the Northern Illinois Tulsa game, that's a noon kick in DeKalb. How tempting is it going to be to hop in the car and drive over and catch Saturday night's game here against Ohio State?
Oh, it's already playing. Yeah, Me and Sean Davis will be, you know, in the area, or at least watching it somewhere in Chicago. So it will be attended by my eyes in the area, and we will be excited to see the win and the change that we're about to make on Saturday night.
How much do you think that if it goes that way for Notre Dame, then if it's not a changing of the guard, it's at the very least one up in the recruiting circle for Notre Dame and Ohio State go after those same elite guys? And to this point, Ohio State's, whether, you know, it was Justin Scott or the receiver that's already playing well at Ohio State, Ohio State's kind of had that upper hand, but they go after the same guys. A win on one particular night with this stage, that spotlight, you know, what would it be like to be Marcus Freeman going back out or for on the recruiting trail anytime it's a choice for a kid between Notre Dame and Ohio State, especially an Ohio kid, Notre Dame or Marcus Freeman being an Ohio guy, a former Ohio State standout linebacker?
Well, for one, we got Deuce Knight to commit before the game even happened.
How about that?
So I just showed that, I just showed that Marcus Freeman is doing his thing, and this game obviously will add on to the effect of what he's bringing to recruiting. But then you think about Justin Scott. He's not even showing up to the game, I don't believe. I don't believe he showed up to the game because his heart will be torn. He'll be like, I can't even stand over next to Ohio State because I'm going to feel so much love from Notre Dame that I might have to flip on the same day. So I can't even show up. So the effect of the game is only the result of what's going to happen at the end, but it's already happening in recruiting now. And I think players are seeing it, and they're seeing, you know, it's bigger than just this game, because if you're committing to the program a year before, just speaking about Deuce Knight, before you even jump into your senior year, I think it shows that you know what you see yourself and a vision for yourself that, you know, is changing the game. And we need to do a better job of recruiting Chicago, by the way. And I think we'll do that by, you know, flipping Justin Scott eventually.
There you go. Breaking news. Malik, we got you up early. Appreciate the time, spending some time with us. Go back, catch a nap, get ready for Saturday's work, and then Saturday's game against Ohio State. Come back and around and visit us later on this season. Back at the Pot of Gold at WNDU Studios, your home for Countdown to Kickoff, heading into Saturday's game between Notre Dame and Ohio State. Number 9 Notre Dame, number 6 Ohio State. We've talked Ohio State. We've talked to Malik Zaire, former Notre Dame quarterback and Ohio native. It is now time, Mike Berrettino, to make predictions for Saturday night's game. Notre Dame is 4-0. Ohio State is 3-0. Only one team is going to be undefeated by night's end. Hopefully night's end and not morning's end, because the game starts at 7:30. Hopefully it's over before midnight. But if it's not, what team remains undefeated when we reconvene in these WNDU studios here on Sunday morning to recap Notre Dame, Ohio State? Score prediction. What do you have?
Past performance is no prediction of, or is no guarantee of future result.
No.
But, and especially when I have to assign a score to a game. But Malik Zaire said first team to 40 wins it.
He's going way from your, yeah, from your bare knuckle fight.
I'm thinking more that it's an Audric Estime kind of night, and it's a Spencer Schrader kind of night. I'm going to say that those advantages in that area, Notre Dame wins a smash mouth game, wins, you know, the turnover battle. And Sam Hartman doesn't have to be Superman, as you mentioned the other day to him, to win this one. He just has to be the 24-year-old adult in the room and outplay Kyle McCord and just guide Notre Dame to a 23-21 victory that will feel like a changing of the guard.
23-21 from Mike Berrettino. We sit here Wednesday afternoon. It's still kind of quiet around South Bend as far as the buildup and the hype and the energy and the excitement. Maybe that builds in the next couple of days when game day arrives and they start doing their pregame stuff on Friday and on Saturday before the game. But maybe that builds up. Maybe it does become a little more energetic and electric around town. But this, I believe, will be a classic on Saturday night. Notre Dame finally gets it done, erases all the ghosts from miss opportunities against Ohio State since the last time they beat him in 1936. Neither of us were there, fortunately. We were not at the 1936 game. A classic. Notre Dame moves to 5-0, 34-31. However it unfolds, whatever happens on Saturday night, we'll be back here at WNDU on Sunday morning to talk Notre Dame football post-Ohio State and pre-Duke. For now, this has been the Pot of Gold.
This is ND Insider's Pot of Gold. Now, with all things Notre Dame football, here's Tom Noy, Mike Berrettino, and Austin Huff.